It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 563. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message at 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. And later in the show, I have one voicemail, which was actually a follow-up from the last show that I posted up last night. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet, and we got the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, the audio, show notes. It's a great resource. I have another jam-packed show. No email tonight, but I have lots to talk about. I'm going to cover this past weekend, the email migration, some of the good, the bad, the ugly. I have a couple utilities I'm going to talk about later in the show, especially an update to a utility that I use all the time, and they now have specific Windows 10 features. So really glad to see this. We're going to talk about Outlook 2016 and some gotchas that I ran into with a client. Let's get started. Thursday night, right after I recorded the show last week, and this is why it took so long for me to edit the show and post it up. I didn't post up show 562 until last night, Wednesday night, because I just had no time. Now, Thursday night, I had to create the import file for SureWeb for this big email migration, 32 users, distribution lists. Got everything updated and ready to roll. Friday night, I started the change of the MX records for the .NET side for the email. Then on GoDaddy, because this was a GoDaddy email migration to SureWeb, they had two emails groups. They had a bunch of users on the .com side and then a few using Office 365 on the .NET side. They're now all .NET on SureWeb. I set the domain forwarder, all mail going from .com forward to .net. Seems simple. Well, one issue we ran into Saturday, but we were able to deal with it. Mail coming in, if there was already an account there, it wouldn't forward. The first thing we had to do was open up each Outlook and do a send receive and make sure we're bringing all the mail down. Everything was being received via POP. Once they were down, I would be text to delete the .com account. So I deleted the .com. Let's fast forward. 8 hours Saturday, literally spent on site, three of us, making sure all of the mail migrated except for three big users where we set up their Outlook, but their PSTs were so huge, I brought them home on an external drive and uploaded them for SureWeb to then migrate into their mail. It was easier because of my internet connection is significantly faster at home than it is for the office. They have a Comcast connection, which is capped at like 12 meg up. I have 300 meg up. Actually, it's measured 341 meg up. I'm like 317 meg down, 341 up, consistent all the time when I do speed tests, and I have Verizon Fios, and it is phenomenal. That went well. I also had my son with me all day, Mike Jr., who was helping me with the migration, and he had to sit and log into the RDP for remote desktop for all these users and also set up their email on the remote server because some of these people log into the remote, they run other programs, and I need to have Outlook set up there. So it's like setting up everybody twice. A lot of work. Sunday we went back, finished up. One utility that's very, very important, and I'm going to just spend a moment, and it's called the NK2 Edit. I've spoken about this several times in the past. You get it from Neursoft. Link will be in the show notes. This is a critical utility when you're doing an Outlook migration, because if I'm setting up a new profile for a user, their autocomplete will not come with moving the PST or taking that PST and importing it into the new email system. You don't get that autocomplete. But this utility, and they still call it NK2, but that was for Outlook 2007. Outlook 2010, they introduce this autocomplete stream, this auto stream file, and it's in the roaming cache directory under app data and local, and you can dig for it. When I launched the NK2 utility, it would bring all of the completes, all of the autocompletes. This is when you start typing someone's email address and it completes their entire email name, so you don't have to retype it all. This is very important for users, and you can't bypass this step during an email migration. But there's a lesson here. Once you set up a new profile, you have to send a test message from that profile, or there will be no autocomplete stream created for that profile. So you have no stream to merge the old one with. So one of the first steps and our instructions, after we got everybody set up, I wanted to make sure mail was flowing to the new profiles for all the users. Then we went back and visited doing the NK2s. Everybody, when I say everybody, the three of us, we had to send an email, then open up NK2 Edit, read the older auto stream, and then add it. There's an option to merge that stream into, it still says Exchange, or yeah, I think it's Exchange 2010, it says, or Outlook 2010, or Exchange Information Store. You pick that and you merge that autocomplete file into the current auto stream. This is important, so now the autocomplete's there. Then I had to make sure all the signatures were set. That's a little thing that you don't want to forget during an email migration. I get all this, and everything's working really, really well. And then Sunday, it was just my son and I going back, doing some finishing, doing some cleanup. One thing, when I was back on site on Monday morning, should I say, any mail or any mail coming in still to the .com, like if I still sent a .com email, it was taking a long time to be forwarded. I mean, it was horrible on how long it was taking. When I called GoDaddy Tech Support, and to me, GoDaddy Tech Support, if you have a website problem or any kind of domain creation problem, their tech support is good. When you call GoDaddy on an email problem, it is a complete and utter waste of your time. You are completely wasting your time to call GoDaddy on an email support issue. You're better off not calling. You can do better on your own, researching online. After the first tech, I was then put on hold to go to a tier two or another level, and I was on hold for a half hour. I couldn't take it anymore. I hung up. Any email coming into the .com was still being delayed. That means there's still email issues going on with GoDaddy. I could not live like this for my client. So here was my solution. And this, I got to pat myself on the back. I got pretty clever here. On SureWeb, I created a second domain So they had their domain that was the .net. I created the .com domain. I then went into every account and created an alias at that domain under their .net using the .com. So if I was Mike at abc.net, I created Mike at abc.com. Once I had all of them created, I then went to GoDaddy and changed the .com MX records to Sherweb. Solved my problems. Mail started going right to the account. So anybody that still had the .com, it got delivered right to their .net address, and it was perfect. So that was my solution on Monday. So there goes Monday. Tuesday, we uncovered some issues, but it wasn't on our side. We uncovered that there were two suppliers that had their own email issues, and it's why mail wasn't getting to them. One had admitted they had an internal email problem. The second one needed to add the domains to a whitelist. A whitelist is where you add someone's email, IP, or domain to where if it's ever coming from that, it'll pass by any filtering and automatically be delivered. So even before I did the merge and migration to Sherweb, I asked for a list of the domains of all of their vendors and key customers, put that in a big list. And for the domain, I cranked up the spam filtering and then whitelisted all of their main people that they deal with email. And it was a pretty considerable list, but at least I don't have to worry about any of those messages being quarantined. Maybe a big order, or whether they placed an order with the vendor, or maybe it's a big customer placing an order. I didn't want anything going to chance where something could end up in a quarantine area. So I set all of that up last week, right before the migration. Right now, Knockwood, everything's been great. Everything's been good. My client's happy. And it was a very successful email migration, but it just sucked a lot of time into making it happen. Yesterday, I was at a client where we were doing a QuickBooks upgrade, and we had to make sure anybody that deals with QuickBooks that's in a shared environment where you got a multi-user QuickBooks environment, one person cannot do an upgrade of the version of QuickBooks to any maintenance updates or any updates without doing all of them at the same time. Wanted to make sure, worked with the accountant. As a matter of fact, their accountant reached out to me and said, Mike, I want you to upgrade all the systems. So my son and I were on site and updated all the QuickBooks successfully. No issues. Everything's working multi-user. The COO of the company is a huge email user. And when I mean huge, I mean 6 email accounts. One of the accounts, the main accounts on Sherweb, he has big PSTs. He lives in Outlook, and he's an Outlook 2013 user. Ever since he installed Office 2013, there has been sort of an instability with his laptop. And this laptop is a very, very high-end Dell 512 gig fast SSD, 32 gigs of RAM, fastest Core i7 that was available, and he has two docking stations. He has a docking station at the office, a docking station at home, and he has a secondary monitor at each place. It's identical setup where you can just undock and dock at both locations, and he lives in email. He's also an Office 365 subscriber for the software. I told him about Office 2016, but I have not spent a lot of time in Outlook 2016. I use Word and Excel more than anything. He said, let's upgrade while you're here. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So he logs into his Microsoft account. We do the install. The first thing that happens when the install's finished and we start Outlook, we get a couple error messages of certain add-ins. So his Dynamo label add-in doesn't work. There's an error there. We get another error. So I said, I can fix this. I said, I hope you don't have a problem. These add-ins, you may not be able to use that product until the the manufacturer releases an add-in that's compatible with Outlook 2016. So he's like, oh, it's okay if I have to wait for the Dynamo label maker. It looks like everything's running. He's pretty happy. I get a panic phone call this morning. His Outlook will only open for 15 or 20 seconds and crashes. I asked, do anything different? Did you put any add-ins on? No. The way to fix that, if you're troubleshooting an Outlook problem, you start Outlook with the /safe option. Once I had him do that, that suppresses any of the add-ins to load and will start Outlook. That's a way around if you have trouble Outlook crashing, Outlook not starting. Start it in safe mode, and at least mail is usable. You don't have all the little add-ins, but it could be functional, and that may temporarily fix the problem. So I said, do that, and then what I got to do is then remote in, and when you get to the office, because he did this from home and it was early, I had just woken up. I hadn't even gotten my shower yet. I said, give me a chance. I got to get dressed. I got to get my coffee. Let me call you when I've properly awoke and is now ready to deal with the world. I did that, called them, remoted in, used Instant House Call to remote in, and I disabled the add-ins by going to File, Options, then I believe Advanced, then you got to go to Com Add-ins, and you click the Go button, and then you get a pop-up list of all the different add-ins. I unchecked them all, and away we go. Well, he is a huge Adobe Acrobat user. He uses Adobe Acrobat more than I've ever seen. He takes all projects and message threads and builds all of those emails together in a PDF. He merges PDFs together. He uses Adobe Acrobat more than I've ever seen any single user. That is critical to his operations within Outlook. Adobe Acrobat 11 is not compatible with Outlook 2016. And I have a link right from Adobe that will give you the chart that specifically tells you what versions work with what versions of Outlook. Very, very important. So we find that he actually researched this while I was at a meeting today. He finds that after talking to Adobe, and it took a couple calls, Adobe Acrobat DC, the new DC version, works with Outlook 2016. Here's the lesson. Before you dare upgrade to Office 2016, if you have an Outlook user, you make sure you look at their existing add-ins and you got to vet them. You got to do your due diligence on the add-ins, and I did not do that with this client. You must research those add-ins before you dare upgrade and find out, does the manufacturer have an upgrade path? Is it compatible? He deals with GoToMeeting for meetings. That add-in has to work. One of the things that he was able to find is that the Dynamo doesn't work, but he had to have his Adobe. They walked him through buying the new version. So he uninstalled, or at least the install process of the DC, uninstalled Adobe Acrobat 11 Pro. He now has Adobe Acrobat DC, and guess what? The shell context menu, when you right-click on an email and sort of that context menu, a lot of the Adobe stuff was missing. And that was because for some reason, when it installed in Outlook, in the add-in section, the box was unchecked. So when I was done my meeting, I got a panic text message from him saying that, you know, there's problems. And I said, look, I'll be there. After, matter of fact, I was at my BNI meeting. I go and I see, he tells me the story of what happened with Adobe. I said, oh, send me that link. I said, oh, by the way, thank you for that, because I'm adding that to my list of things I'm talking about on tonight's show. He might be out there listening to this. I told him I would be talking about it. Once I got there and realized what was missing, I was able to just check that box and it was a piece of cake. But the big warning here, as with any upgrade, you can't cut corners. And I cut corners. I didn't do the proper research. We were lucky here, but you got to be careful. If you're ever going to do an upgrade, are there add-ins that may not work with that upgrade? And you got to research them. A couple quick things that I've been working on. iTunes. Was that a client yesterday that has two laptops, two iPads, an iPhone, and two iPods? So when Apple puts a limit of 5 devices, this is insane. He's got more than 5 devices. He purchases a lot of his music through iTunes. And I was brought out there for a couple things, but one of the things was he said, my iTunes library is not syncing across the two laptops because it's all set up. We have each of them authorized. Here's just a little FYI. He ripped gigs of music years ago before he bought stuff digitally through iTunes, ripped them in iTunes, added them to his library, then abandoned CDs totally and now buys everything through iTunes. Well, anything he buys from iTunes, of course, syncs perfectly. But the initial library that he built does not sync. Apple does not sync that. So it was an easy solution. All I had to do was get my USB hard drive, copied all of the music from the iTunes media library directory. You got to go to music. You got to know where all that music is. Copy it. Then go to the other system, put it in the exact same directory, then launch iTunes and tell it to reread that library directory. Once it does, it had everything. So that was an easy solution, but I wanted to tell people that. I wanted to explain that to everybody. There's another feature that Apple has. It's called iTunes Match. I have this service. It's $25 a year. I'm into my second year. I really just purchased it just to see what it was all about, since it was only $25. Might as well find out what it's about. I have a 300 gig music library on my iMac that I tap to play music and different things in the post show. That 300 gig library, I let it merge to iTunes Match. What that will do is find every single song and match it in the cloud. So now, wherever I'm at in the world, as long as I have internet access on my iPhone, on my iPad, I can access that library of my entire library of music since it's matched in the cloud. I wanted to mention that because that's another way for my client to get the music. Now, I said, that library that we've built on your laptop, do you want that on your iPad? Because if you do, the way to get that is through the iMatch service. And he said, no, I can live without that on the iPad and the iPhone. So perfect. Now, one of the other things I was able to take, very interesting, anybody who deals with Slingbox. I have a Slingbox that I love. I use it a lot when I'm traveling. That's a device that hooks to your cable box or your Fios box that enables you to watch your box from anywhere in the world as long as your internet's up at home and you have decent internet access on the road. He has his box for watching the Eagles games, big Eagles fan, while he's in Aruba. He has a condo in Aruba, and this is going to lead to a utility that I'm going to talk about here tonight. Well, he has the Slingbox app that he purchased for his iPhone and his iPad, and it works great. But now he wants to use it on the TV. Now, you can go to slingbox.com and open it up, or if you are on Windows, it's actually not that bad, and it's free for Windows. It's interesting that Slingbox sells their iOS app, but the Windows app is free. If you go to the Microsoft Store on Windows 8 or Windows 10, you can get the Slingbox app and download it, and it's really nice and fully functional, and you can bring up the remote. Very, very nice. Well, here's what I want to bring up for a program that I have never heard about. I'm going to be helping him when he goes back to Aruba to help him with a printer setup and some other things. He uses Viber, V-I-B-E-R. It's an app I never heard of. And he said, Mike, this is for text message, video phone calls over Wi-Fi. And it's a great free service. One of the links for tonight is a utility, Viber, that I've installed on my phone. I haven't used it yet with them, but they have a desktop version, a Windows 8, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, and Nokia. Across all platforms, this is available. Actually, you know what? I see iOS, but I don't see OS X. That's interesting. So they don't have a Mac version, and I don't see Linux here. Or maybe that's the desktop. We'll have to see. I'll have to look at desktop and see if there's more options there for OS X. Anyway, but they do have iOS for the phone. When he goes back, he goes like once a month to Aruba, and he's going to start a call with Viber with me so I can help him with his IT needs while he's there. I'll report back on how effective that was and how good was it. But anyway, it's an app that I wanted to let everybody know. Before we keep going, I have a few more things I want to talk about. Give a listen to this voicemail from Kate in response to the listener who had the hard drive problem with Shadow Protect on the last show.
Hey, Mike, it's Kate. I was listening to show 562 here in the car, and one of your listeners was concerned about a Shadow Protect problem. I mean, you're the Shadow Protect guy, not me, but I think it's probably not a Shadow Protect problem. I think that what he needs to do is take that hard drive, the external Western Digital My Passport hard drive, and initially you want to plug it into a USB 2 port. It needs USB 3 drivers. You don't want to be updating chipsets and things. You want to use the driver that is either going to come via Windows Update after that hard drive's been plugged in for a little while, or if we hate Windows Update, we can install the driver right from a directory on that hard drive. So it's on there. It'll be recognized fine, and I think he said it was, by a USB 2 port. Just install the driver, and then when Windows Update shows up with an update for it, and install that one. But it should be recognized by the USB 3 port right away after that driver's installed. I'm sorry, I'm in my car. I'm not driving, but I'm in my car, so I don't have a passport in front of me, and I can't tell you what that directory is, but it is self-evident. Or he could gasp, check the documentation. But I wouldn't be looking at it as a Shadow Protect problem. I wouldn't be looking at it as something that needs to update a chipset. Oh, my God. It's a lot simpler than that. So I hope that helps. Take care. Bye.
Kate, thank you. See, sometimes the obvious, it's right in front of us. I overcomplicate things sometimes, especially when I'm reading one of your emails or listening to a voicemail. I tend to go for the more difficult sometimes and not look at what's in front of me. But Kate, you're right, absolutely. And I hope the listener is listening to tonight's show with this, with your answer. You're absolutely right. And that should take care of it. A bigger issue, though, since he upgraded to Windows 10, which we don't know, does Shadow Protect work under Windows 10? And I just had not had a chance to test that yet. Or if we have to do an upgrade, then you better have been buying the maintenance, or you're going to be spending more money for the newer version. Keep that in mind. Whenever you're buying a product like that that offers some inexpensive maintenance, and it's like $20 a year for the desktop version, if you don't continue spending and renewing that maintenance for your license for Shadow Protect, you will not get newer versions. Just keep that in mind too. I want to talk about the latest version of CCleaner. I happened to catch an email that 5.11 now has improvements for working with Windows 8, 8.1, and 10. We now have the ability to remove Windows Store apps to the uninstall tool. What if we want to get rid of mail and calendar, which we couldn't do before? What if there were some built-in apps that we don't want with Windows 8 or Windows 10? We now can get rid of them. There's improved browser cleanup. The Chrome download history cleaning has been improved. The improved Firefox cleaning. They've optimized the startup items detection routine. And this, they've added Microsoft Office 2016 cleanup support. Big update to CCleaner, one of my favorite utilities. And I'll have a link to that history. And I think that's it for tonight's show. I want to remind everybody, if you are purchasing anything from Amazon or know anybody that buys from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back when you use that link to help support the show. And I really appreciate all of you for your continued use of my Amazon link to support the show. It means a lot. It's very important. Thank you so much. Don't forget to download the trial version of Instant House Call. Give it a try. Kick the tires. You'll like it. InstantHouseCall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. That's it. I'll see everybody next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit TechPodcast.com.